Member Bonner. And I just want to ask you what you see. Tell me what you see up here.
Protection.
Things to protect your head.
Oh.
Your soul.
Oh.
The Bible protects.
So it would be accurate to say that we don't just see two helmets, we see
three
helmets, yes?
Yes.
I use all three of these. Not as often some of them as others, but whenever I ride my bicycle, I rarely go riding anymore without my helmet on. Even just around town, once in a while, very often, very seldom, I should say. You want to see this on me?
Yeah.
Sure, go ahead.
You look like a Power Ranger.
Wow.
That's when you ride your Formula One car?
I won't zip it up there, but built helmet that I never get on my motorcycle without wearing that. Never.
Amen.
And no helmet here.
I was telling my sister that the other day. I was like, hey, never have to worry about helmet here or hat here.
There we go.
I'm not doing this to be cute. But if I am, my wife says, I always think I'm cute when I'm not, so. But I just want to say that while I rarely go without my bicycle helmet, never go without my motorcycle helmet, that although I am daily in God's word. For me, that's a given. And it's not that, I'll just say it this way. I've got a confession to make. And it's not that I say that I don't need, that I say to myself, hey, today I really don't need to put this helmet on. It's not that I say, well, you know, I don't need to, I'm just going to do this, I'm just going to do that. But rather, what I find myself facing or encountering unexpected and that's just life. We just often find ourselves facing or encountering the unexpected. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
And what I am confessing is that I often proceed without protection. I cannot tell you how convicted I was as I'm preparing this message. And I just want to say that I think we would all agree, all of these helmets are important. Yes? How much more important is the spiritual armor, the helmet, we'll call it the helmet of salvation, that our minds are shielded from the deadly schemes of the enemy, the constant deadly schemes of the enemy. It's the only book, the only armor that can protect us from lies, guard against deception. How easily deceived, shall I say it this way, how easily deceived I am. You may also be easily deceived. So it protects from lies, guards against deception, and guides us from going down. It's like a smart helmet. We'll talk about smart part a little bit later. Let's pray. Lord, your word is alive and it's powerful. and it's active. Lord, your word gives revelation. Your word gives direction. Your word provides protection, and it gives instruction. Lord, we want to hear what you want to say. You have our undivided attention. Amen?
Amen.
Maybe just scoot. Don't get over your chair, but just scoot forward. You don't have to be on the edge of the seat, but just scoot forward. I just have this feeling that, you know, I want you to lean in a little bit this morning. I'm going to read a lot out of the Word. Here we go. One night during the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had such disturbing dreams that he couldn't sleep. Called in his magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, astrologers, and demanded that they tell him what he had dreamed. As they stood before the king, he said, "I have had a dream that deeply troubles me, and I must know what it means." The astrologers answered king, "Long live the king. Tell us the dream, and we'll tell you what it means." The king said to the astrologers, "I am serious about this. If you don't tell me what my dream was and what it means, you'll be torn limb from limb and your houses will be turned to heaps of rubble. But if you tell me what I dreamed and what the dream means, I will give you many wonderful gifts and honors. Just tell me the dream and what it means." They said again, "Please, Your Majesty, tell us the dream and we'll tell you what it means." And the king replied, "I know what you're doing. You're stalling for time because you know I am serious when I say, if you don't tell me the dream, you are doomed. So you have conspired to tell me lies, hoping I will change my mind. But tell me the dream, and then I'll know what that you can tell me what it means." Interesting reasoning. The astrologers replied to the king, "No one on earth can tell the king his dream, and no king, however great and powerful, has ever asked such a thing of any magician, enchanter, or astrologer. The king's demand is impossible. No one except the gods can tell you your dream, and they do not live here among people." The king was furious when he heard this, and he ordered that all the wise men of Babylon be executed. Because of the king's decree, men were sent to find and kill Daniel and his friends. What do you think? This might be a good time to helmet up? Or if you're wearing the other helmet, helmet down? That's, by the way, what I've entitled this message. Helmet up. Or you could say helmet on, but I like helmet up. This is kind of a surprising. Request that Nebuchadnezzar is making, especially if you're reading it for the first time. And their thing is, I'm reading this for I don't know how many times, I'm thinking, now wait, what has just happened? I mean, it was just a year or so, it's not been very long, it's just the second year of Nebuchadnezzar, and he'd already recognized that Daniel and his friends, you know, the scripture says that God gave Daniel knowledge, understanding of literature, and able to interpret visions and dreams. But it also says that when King Nebuchadnezzar consulted Daniel's friends, he found them 10 times. He found them so far superior of their abilities and their understanding. So it's curious to me that he didn't just, well, if you guys can't, let's at least go check out with Daniel. Maybe he can't. But no, that's not what takes place. In fact, you know, so we find Daniel and his friends on death's door. I mean, just the executioners are on their way to get them and do them in. And So if you're describing, if you're using a word, an adjective, how would you describe this present situation? Desperate. Impossible. overwhelming, to say the least. Yes? Those kinds of things. I wrote, monumental, doomed, as the text says. How about describing it this way? Exploit opportunity. Or I like to use the shortened version, an ex-op. I mean, how it almost seems like, well, that's cute. Nice preaching. But I think that's absolutely what Daniel is doing. Helmet up. And because Daniel knows his God, it's like, okay, here we go. Here we go again. Exploit number two coming up. Yes? Let's read on. When Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, came to kill them, Daniel handled the situation with wisdom and discretion. Maybe I should preach like this. He asked Arioch, why is the king issued such a harsh decree? So Arioch told him all that had happened, and Daniel went at once to see the king and requested more time to tell the king what the dream meant. And Daniel went home. Here is, I actually highlighted this on my notes, because this is the key verses of this whole chapter right here. By the way, this chapter has like 50 verses or so. I'm not going to read them all, but you'll think I have by the time I'm finished. Daniel went home and told his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, what had happened, and he urged them to
pray.
Yes, he did. Urged them to ask the God of heaven to show them his mercy by telling them the secrets, so they would not be executed along with the other wise men of Babylon that night. As a result, the secret was revealed to Daniel in a vision. And then Daniel praised the God of heaven. He said, let's just read this together, shall we? Praise the name of God forever and ever, for he has all wisdom and power. He controls the course of the world events. He removes kings and sets up other kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the scholars. He reveals deep and mysterious things and knows what lies hidden in darkness, though he is surrounded by light. And then Daniel finishes by saying, I thank and praise you, God of my ancestors, for you have given me wisdom and strength. You have told me what we asked of you. You revealed to us what the king demanded. And then Daniel went in to see Arioch, and when the king had ordered to execute, or Arioch, who's the executioner, the one that's been ordered to execute the wise men of Babylon, Daniel said to him, don't kill the wise men. Take me to the king, and I will tell him the meaning of his dream. Arioch quickly took Daniel to the king and said, I have found one of the captives from Judah who will tell you, O king, the meaning of your dream. And then the king said to Daniel, also known as Belteshazzar, that's the name that the king gave him, is this true? Can you tell me what my dream was and what it means? And Daniel replies, I actually have this in blue as well, just to give you a clue here. Daniel replied, there are no wise men, enchanters, magicians, or fortune tellers who can reveal the king's secret, but there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in the future. Now I will tell you your dream and the visions you saw as you lay on your bed. While your majesty was sleeping, you dreamed about coming events. He who reveals secrets has shown you what is going to happen. And it's not because I am wiser than anyone else that I know the secret of your dream, but because God wants you to understand what was in your heart, in your vision. And you can read that on your own. I want you to stay with me for a few more moments, if you would. And I want us to look at, let's just kind of look back here at what has just happened. Because it's easy to read a story and just get caught up in the, this is kind of interesting. This is kind of exciting and wow. And then when you read the dream isn't just, for those of you that might be familiar, it's a pretty detailed account. It's significant to me that Daniel clearly saw, it's like God gave him exactly the same dream. But I just want us to look at what's beneath the surface and see if there isn't something in there besides just a cool story about, you know, one of Daniel's exploits. But that maybe that there are some exploits that God wants to help us to be a part of, where we get to be a part of some accomplishing some things in God's behalf. So God gave Nebuchadnezzar a dream. I'm just reviewing the highlights here. He gave him a dream, but he became disturbed, to say the least. Yes? It's God that's given Nebuchadnezzar a dream, but it caused him to go bonkers. He makes an impossible, an unreasonable demand, to say the least. And worse than that, failure to comply results in death. Is this what you heard? And then this is also what happens. In the face of that, if that isn't, you know, serious and significant enough, Daniel appears not to even blink. You know, you don't see him fall, oh no, you know, what are we going to do now, God? And whining to God. It's like he doesn't even blink. Just simply, helmets up. I mean, that's. Let me ask this question. In this story, who is the enemy? Is there an enemy? I'm not looking for answers out loud, but just, is there even, Nebuchadnezzar, you know, really, I mean, I guess if there is one, it must be him. But I want to say that although there isn't, in this text, the enemy doesn't have a speaking part per se. It's not we didn't read it in the text. You won't find it. But yet he's really making what I'm going to call a cameo. And the only way, I mean, you just got to follow my, what I'm trying to communicate, what I believe is so very clear, is that the reason you can't see him in this story is because, and the reason I would call it a cameo is because he's always invisible, you know, at least to this eye. Yes? Unless, helmets on, helmets up. And that's what's so very clear that Daniel sees right to the heart of what's going on. He sees it so clearly. Let me say this, because I'm going to read out of Ephesians chapter 6 in just a moment. So you more than likely anticipated that coming, talking about the helmet of salvation and all. But I'm seeing Daniel 11:32 in an expanded light, if you will. Because, that's the verse. Not just because it's a cool verse, not just because I'm preaching on it, but because that's really a verse that God gave this church prior to my pastoring, back in the days of, what's that?
The days of yore.
Yeah, the days of yore. You want to understand that verse, and it's actually just a portion of Daniel 11:32. It's the latter part of those who know their God will be strong and do exploits. If you want to see that verse in the Amplified Version, read the book of Ephesians. It's just six chapters long, but it is like the pinnacle of all of Paul's writings. And the first three chapters is all about who you are in Jesus. All about your the fact that you've been adopted, you've been become forgiven, you've been redeemed, you've been chosen, you've been gifted, for his workmanship, we've been saved. It's just chock full in those first three chapters. And then the last chapter six, is where Paul finishes by talking about the spiritual armor. And it's like, when we know who we are in Jesus, then we're able to step forth and be strong. And to use the King James language of the Old Testament, and do exploits. And basically, all that is just being a part of the kingdom of God, establishing his kingdom and his rule in our lives and wherever we go, whatever we face. Just like Daniel, he faced a pretty serious situation, but he knew his God, and he just stepped forward. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, Paul says, Ephesians chapter 6. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. And he is always scheming, always plotting, and always trying to catch us off guard, even set us up. I'll talk about that more. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. They are not visible. Rarely are they visible. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when that day of evil comes, that the unexpected, whether it's a temptation or whether it's just a circumstance, whatever it is, that you'd be able to stand your ground. After you've done everything to stand firm then. Go ahead and stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And last, and I would say most important, not that there needs to be a debate at all, this is huge. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. See, that's what I think, and obviously all of the weapons have their place, and we could spend weeks, and maybe at some point we'll do another teaching on that. But I'm just trying to illustrate the point that you know, we put on the not just reading the word and checking off. I've spent a little time in the word today, but when we read the word and really realize that we need to wear it like a helmet, carry it wherever he goes, and consider it, consult it, basically allow it to penetrate our hearts and minds in the midst of everything that's going on in our day, whether we encounter people and we get to spend time, you know, with fellowshipping and just some times of enjoyment, or whether we're together and realize, my brother or my sister just needs a word of encouragement, or this is offensive. I need to. How am I going to respond? Or this is overwhelming. Or this, I'm being attacked right now. You know, whatever it is that we're facing, I'm encountering this circumstance. Letting the word be what we look to and consult to give direction, to give power, to give strength, and more than anything, to increase our faith, so that we don't. Oh no, doomed to death, you know, or whatever it is that we respond, and just allow the pieces of armor begin to lock into place, and just, okay, I am girded up, and I don't know what you've got in store, God. What's around the next corner? But I got your word. I got the helmet on. I'm full of faith. Yeah, I'm concerned. It's not living in a surreal world, like as though you've got what's that?
Virtual reality.
Yeah, virtual reality. You know, and I might try preaching a sermon with. Anyhow, the enemy is always scheming. That's what Paul is saying. It's always scheming. His major is deception. Always trying to deceive. And it's often, you know, he doesn't come up and just start slapping us, as you know, to kind of get our and trying to do the obvious. It's so subtle that what he's banking on is that we will be unaware that he's behind the curtain, pulling strings. And in other words, because he's invisible, and we see, you know, the you know, like Nebuchadnezzar is a good example, you think?
I have a question. So why gave Nebuchadnezzar the dream? That was the interpretation to be done without him actually telling anybody what the dream was?
Yeah, and just his
reaction
to, to all of that. And so it's like, you know, God is trying to get his attention, but God's certainly not trying to get him to all fired up so that he can kill all the, you know.
Because evidently, eventually God wanted that dream to be interpreted by Daniel.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
And you'll see that when you, especially as we, you know, go through the book together. But I just thought, as I'm reading through this chapter, and I'm just realizing, you know, that even though God was behind the dream, the enemy, and that's exactly what the enemy is always doing. He's always messing with our circumstances. And so when the scripture says it's not flesh and blood that we're dealing with, you know, we like, yeah, but you know, we react. You know, the enemy is not my wife. The enemy is not, you know, my neighbor. The enemy is not the person that's coming at me with criticism and attacking. Or the enemy is not this tragic circumstance, but the enemy has the ability to come in and mess with things. You know, in fact, I came across a great Priscilla Shire quote. It says that there's always something you can't see controlling something you can see. Here's my quote. The enemy is super real, but the problem is you can't see the real problem. Unless, helmets up?
Yeah, helmets up.
Barb?
Just that whole seen and unseen. So when you have your bike helmet on or you have your motorcycle helmet on, we can see you're helmeted up. When you have on the armor of God, only you know you have on the armor of God. Only God knows you have on the armor of God. Only the enemy feels that you have on the armor of God. And it's fighting that unseen, like you just said, with the unseen. And so it's one of those where, yeah, I can chide you or Karen can yell at you, David, wear your helmet, you idiot, wear your helmet, you're going to kill yourself. But she can't see if you're not armoring up with the Word of God, and we can't see if you are. We can see it in what comes out of you,
yeah,
or what comes out of us. I'm just using you as an example.
Right, right, right.
And so it's that unseen, like that you just said, I was like, wow, the unseen fighting the unseen. And
yeah.
Because it's not a, you know, we don't wear this on our head, you know.
Right, right. But where does that faith come from? Where did you know, you ever look at, you know, you think, wow, that's a strong statement of faith. You know, that's a, this person is just gone through this situation, and yet look at how strong they are. Look at their response. And that's what I wanted, the two things then, is that, yes, the enemy is always scheming, but yes, Daniel saw the invisible. You know, he saw, but the invisible isn't just the enemy. The invisible is, you know, more importantly, who he saw is God in all of that, yes? And I love his response. Hey, boys, get together with his boys, you know, his bros. We got to pray. And you know what I would say to you, church, to you, New Life Fellowship? We got to pray. We got to pray. That's this. It's not just the helmet up. The thing that pierces me more than anything is how slow I am to pray and just fall to my knees. You know, I fall to my knees and, you know, when I, you know, hear something, I just like, oh, man, that just hit me like a ton of bricks. But and it's not that, you know, we're going to get surprised. But then at the same time, so God. It's not just that it's my life that's at stake here. It's not just my comfort zone that's being at stake here. God, there's something that you want to do. There's some, what is it you want to do? God, interpret the king's dream. I don't even know what the dream is. But God, I know that you're a big God. You've got something. In this case, God gave Daniel the not just the interpretation, but the dream itself. And God's stuff in mind. Yeah, if we'll just look to him and wait for him and trust him and let our declaration be, God, I'm looking to you. And it might, I don't know how long they prayed, but I doubt that it was a sentence prayer. But that's a great place to start. And then in the middle of the night, you know, the vision came. I'll conclude with a couple of things and read the last paragraph of this verse. But I got to tell you that I don't know what your favorite. If you watch the Super Bowl, I'm the Super Bowl is okay, but the commercials were, well, especially this one commercial, and the Smotpak commercial. Anybody see that one with the Hyundai? And it's a bunch of Bostonians and their smart park. It's a Hyundai that is parking in a space that's way too tiny, and so you get out of the car and you by remote it parks itself. You won't be able to get, if you were in the car, you wouldn't be able to get out. It was that tight of a space, and but the whole thing is just to kind of convey that this new technology this car is so smart it can park itself. And I just thought, you know, I wish I was an Air Force pilot. You know, you read about some of the technology that they've got in their helmets and the ability to see, you know, things in their peripheral and sometimes they can, all they have to do is blink and bombs explode or something. Make sure that, I couldn't be making some of this up, but it works, you know. But I just think that, you know, we get so impressed and in awe of some of the technology of this 21st century that we live in, and yet none of that holds a candle to what we've got with the Word of God, if we will only helmet up, if we will only bank on God's Word and give Him the opportunity. It's like He can just do stuff.
Doesn't Daniel continually usually turn to the Lord with his diet and everything? That was kind of like his automatic.
Yeah, Daniel's one of these guys that from start to finish, you know, he is just a hero. He is just a godly person. That you know, that's why the end of the book says, "Those who know their God will be strong and do exploits." Daniel just lived that throughout his life, from his teenage years all the way to his latter years. So I, before I read the last paragraph, I just need to say this, that just that Daniel is talking to, you know, his friends and saying we got to pray as a result. Daniel's faith is big because he's got big God, and the result is the exploit, as I mentioned earlier, exploit number two. And what is exploit number two? Yeah, he saved, you know, as a result, saved a lot of lives. But the exploit really was God's power and glory was revealed. Yes? Let's read the last paragraph. Then the king said to Daniel, so you know, he's given the dream, he's given the interpretation. Truly, your God is the greatest of gods. Truly, your God is the greatest of gods, the Lord over kings. He is the greatest of gods. He's the Lord over kings, a revealer of mysteries, for you have been able to reveal this secret. Then the king appointed Daniel to a high position, gave him many valuable gifts, made Daniel ruler over the whole province, as well as the chief over all the wise men. At Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to be in charge of all the affairs of the province of Babylon, while Daniel remained in the king's court. I just want to say this before I pray, is that there are a lot of things today that we're facing. Have you noticed just in this last decade, oh my word, just the things that have caused a lot of disturbing. I mean, that's putting it mildly, yes? I'll say it this way. A lot of things disturbing a lot of people. A lot of fear paralyzing a lot of people right now. I want to also say that there are a lot of exploit opportunities right now. Lord, help us to helm it up. Help us to help it. Help us to have it said of us that we rarely go without helmeting up, without our helmet of salvation, without the armor that you provide for us, without consulting your word and letting your word be the way, the truth, and the life of our hearts, of our actions. God, I pray that you would continue to help us to see the situations that we face as opportunities for not just great exploits, but opportunities to reveal your power and glory. Thank you, Lord, for doing that. In Jesus' name. Joe, do you want to come and lead a song, and then I'll speak a blessing, and then we'll invite for prayer.
This dude made a way, because standing here, not knowing how we'll get through this test, but holding on to faith you know best. Nothing can catch you by surprise. You've got this figured out, and you're watching us now. But when it looks as if we can't win, you wrap us in your arms and step in, and everything we need you supply. You got this in control, and now we know that you made a way. When our backs were against the wall and it looked as if it was over, you made a way. And we're standing here only because you made a way. Now we're here, looking back on where we come from, because of you and nothing we've done to deserve the love and mercy you show. Your grace was strong enough to pick us up, and you made a way. When our backs were against the wall and it looked as if it was over, you made a way. And we're standing here only because you You move mountains, you cause walls to fall with your power. There are miracles, there is nothing that's impossible. And we're standing here only because you made a way. And you backs were against the wall, looked as if it was over. Yes, we're standing here only because you made a way.
So we're standing here only because God made a way. Yes?
Yes.
Let's go ahead and stand. Let me speak this blessing. May God enable you to see clearly in the face of impossibilities, in the face of fear, in the face of attack or criticism or whatever it is you're facing. May God help you to see the invisible, both an awareness of the enemy's schemes, but mostly an awareness of the power and glory of God. Helmet up. All right, you're dismissed. If you'd like prayer, please come.